Today is found in the book of Numbers of the 14th chapter. We left off speaking to you last week how that Joshua and Caleb spake unto the congregation and also unto the other 10 spies concerning the land that they had been in, and how that these men spake the truth and told them that if the Lord delighteth in us, he will give us this land. Only rebel ye not against the Lord and against his commandment. For these people, their defense is gone, and the Lord is with us. I spoke to you a little about what it is if the Lord takes a delight in people, in sinners. And now these men, speaking this way to the congregation, pleaded with them. They pleaded for their good, for their welfare. But what did they do? We find that the congregation arose and bade stone these men. The whole congregation wanted to stone these two men that were pleading with them for their own welfare and for their own good. A stoning, that was a punishment according to the law of Moses for a capital offense. We read in Deuteronomy that this law was brought into effect. If anyone found some people worshiping idol gods such as the sun, the moon, and the stars, then those that seen them doing this, they were to bring them to Moses. And then they were to lead these people outside of the camp, and the whole congregation were to stone them to death. The witnesses who had found these people doing these things were the first ones that were to cast the stones. And we find in the very next chapter, if you've been familiar with Scripture, there was a man that went out into the wilderness picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And they caught this man doing this. And they brought him to Moses. And they said, "What should we do with this man?" Well, Moses didn't know what to do with the man either. So they put him in ward. And Moses inquired of God what they should do with this man. And the Lord said, "Take the man outside of the camp and stone him to death." Oh, how severe, how awful this is when you consider how many times you and I have done things on the Sabbath day which we shouldn't do. What a wonder that we are yet alive then, that God bears with such creatures such as we are. Oh, it has been often said, if we had to take all the people that are doing things against the law of the Sabbath day, and we had to stone them, there wouldn't be enough stones in this country even, and this country has plenty of stones to stone them with. There are so many that transgress this commandment. And God is strict, God is just and righteous in punishing each and every person that transgresses his commandment. And we find that even in the gospel time when Christ was here upon earth, that the Jews still persisted in keeping this law. For they caught a woman in the act of adultery, and they brought her to Jesus. And the Jews said to Jesus, according to the law of Moses, she should be stoned. What sayest thou? And Jesus just bent down and wrote in the ground. And then he rose up and he said, "Ye that are without sin, cast the first stone upon her." And every one of them turned away, fully convicted in their own conscience that they were sinners. And now we read a little further in the Acts of the Apostles how that the Jews stoned Stephen, calling upon the name of the Lord. This man Stephen, he was teaching the people out of the Bible. He was speaking to them and pointing out to them what their fathers had done. They had been a rebellious generation. And when he began to explain to them what they had did, why they picked up stones and they stoned him. Likewise, these two men, speaking in the name of the Lord, they would have been stoned too. But God has all people in his hands. And now God came down. The glory of the Lord appeared, for the cloud descended over the tabernacle. And when this cloud came down, it put an awe on the people. It withheld them from stoning these two men, or they sure would have been stoned. And now this was a sign that God wanted to speak unto Moses. And Moses drew near, and the Lord began to speak unto Moses, and said, How long shall these people provoke me? And how long shall they not believe me? I will smite them with the pestilence. In other words, I will destroy them from off the earth. And I will make of you, Moses, a greater nation and a mightier people than they. And the Lord said then that he would smite them with the pestilence and he would disinherit them. Now God was justly provoked, and he had a right to be provoked. For these people, they had had so many signs and so many tokens of God's care, of his favor, and of the things that he had done for them. And he had brought them to the border of this land. And now they rebelled against God, against his servants. They stood up and they despised this pleasant land. And they even wanted to make a captain and return back to Egypt. And now here they were ready to stone two of his men. Two men that had the Spirit of God in them. And therefore God was justly provoked. And he said that he would smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. And he would take Moses and he would make him a mightier nation and a greater people than the Israelites were. And my hearers, what do you think about Moses? He had a good opportunity to get from under this position he was in. I was thinking about him. It's a wonder that he didn't say to the Lord, Do as thou hast said, Lord. But no, Moses, he had the honor and the glory of God at heart. And he had such love for these people that he fell down before God and began to pray for these people. These people, they didn't want Moses anymore. They wanted another man. But Moses had such a heart for them that he called upon God for them. God was ready to smite them and disinherit them. But here we have Moses as the intercessor of these people, pleading before God. Oh, he's such a glorious type of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, Moses. And he prays to God. And he said, Lord, if you do that, what will the Egyptians say? Thou hast brought these people up from the land of Egypt. The Egyptians know that you led them out of their land. The Egyptians know, too, that you go before them in a pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. And it is spoken even in Egypt that they see you face to face and that you have done so many wonders and miracles for these people. And now if you smite this whole nation and kill them, well, what will these Egyptians say? And what will the nations say that are round about them? For you may be sure the wonders that God was doing amongst these people was spread far and wide. There was no other nation on the universe that had ever had God so close to them and had so many signs of his presence as they did. And now God was going to smite them off the land. And if you would say, well, what would happen then to his promises? Didn't he promise Abraham this land? Well, this promise would continue in Moses, in the nation that he would bring forth out of Moses. But Moses, oh, he loved these people, and he loved the honor of God. Moses wasn't seeking his own honor, that he should become somebody, and that he should be a big nation. No. He knelt humbly before God and prayed that God would remember his word, that he would remember his honor and his own glory. It was at stake. If he'd done something like that, well, all the people would say, God wasn't strong enough, he wasn't able enough to bring these people into the land, and therefore he let them perish in the wilderness. And now, Lord, thou hast said thou art long-suffering, and thou art full of mercy, and thou art a forgiving God, forgiving iniquity, and by no means clearing the guilty. Ah, do as thou hast said, Lord. Oh, pardon these people, as thou hast done from the land of Egypt even till now. Pardon the iniquity of this people. Oh, what an intercessor was this man Moses. Oh, I think of Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, an intercessor for poor sinners, for creatures who, like these Israelites, also sin against him. Oh, are we any better than these people, my hearers? Not one bit. We all have the same nature. We all have the same heart. We all rebel against God. And what a wonder that God don't consume us. That we deserve to be consumed just as well as those Israelites. But if it wasn't for him who sits at the right hand of his Father, you may be sure we would be consumed. It is only in and through his intercession that poor sinners still live here below, and finally will be taken to be with God in heaven above. And this man Moses is a glorious type of Jesus Christ pleading for these people. And all my hearers, so many are ignorant of the people of the Lord that are pleading and praying at the right, at God's right hand for the nation, for individuals, and likewise for the church that they are in. Oh, they are intercessors likewise. And although they may be despised and hated and ridiculed, still they have at their heart the love, the honor of God and the love of his people, same as Moses had. Oh, this man Moses then, and he was given to pray and he was heard. He was answered immediately. Oh, God said, I will pardon according to thy word. And I was thinking when God said that, my hearers, what an encouragement this is for poor sinners like you and I. Oh, if God pardoned these people, they were such great sinners and they had done so much evil in the sight of God. Oh, then surely there is forgiveness for the likes of you and I. Oh, may we beseech him. May we call upon him and seek him while he is yet to be found, that he would pardon us and forgive us our iniquities as he forgave these Israelites after Moses had interceded for them. And God said, surely the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. And then he begins to speak and say what would become of those that had went into the land, those 10 spies that had brought back an evil report upon the land, and that all the people that had joined with them, they would not enter into the land of Canaan. They would not be able to go into that glorious land, but they would have to wander in the wilderness. And now God spake unto Moses and told him that they should turn away from this pleasant land and go into the wilderness by the Red Sea. Now this was the communication that Moses received from God, and Moses had to tell the people this. And when he began to tell the people what God's punishment was, oh, then they began to murmur. Oh, they began to complain. I was thinking, I guess they were saying, what? We got to go back into that wilderness? We just come through that wilderness and we were so near to this pleasant land and now we got to go into that wilderness again? Oh, they were angry. They murmured against God again. They learned no lesson, these people. And we find that God said, I have heard your murmurings and I will do unto you as thou did desire. What did they desire? They had desired that they would either die in the land of Egypt or die in the wilderness. That's what they said. Would be better if we had died there. And now God said, well, you'll get your wish now. Now, because you refused to enter into the land and you disobeyed my commandment, 40 years you shall wander in the wilderness, that all your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Only those that are under 20 years of age and Caleb shall enter into the land, because in Caleb there was another spirit. But every one of you shall die in the wilderness. Oh, God became grieved. God became angry with these people. And therefore he spake in this manner. All these people then would have to wander in the wilderness 40 long years until all their carcasses had fallen. This then was the punishment that they would receive for their sin. What was their sin? Unbelief. Not believing God. Not believing his signs, his miracles, his care, everything that he had done for them. They did not believe him. The apostle speaks very clearly about this by Hebrews in the chapter of the Hebrews, the third chapter. He speaks about these people, that they provoked God in the wilderness in the day of temptation. They hardened their hearts. There was in them an evil heart of unbelief, and they departed from the living God. And God swore that he would not give them to enter into his rest. And therefore they must now wander in the wilderness. Oh, see what an awful thing unbelief is, my hearers. What a terrible sin it was for these people. And the apostle warns us in like manner, see that there be not an evil heart of unbelief in you in departing from the living God. See that nothing in bitterness and in evilness comes up in your hearts, that many may be defiled and many may turn away from God and from his religion. All the apostle warns in this chapter, me and you, every one of us listening to me, all may we, my hearers, be given to love God, to love each other, to pray for each other, to seek each other's welfare. Oh, where God dwells, love dwells, my hearers. What a mercy if we may find love and exercise towards each other, and we may find if this is taking place in the congregation, then the blessings of God will descend upon us. But where hatred is, where enmity is, where rebellion is, that's where Satan is, and God is not there, my hearers. Oh, may we pray for unity, for peace in our midst. These people, they were punished in this way. They had to go away from the pleasant land, and they had to go into the wilderness. And Moses had to make this known unto these people. What would take place with them? Just their children and just Caleb and Joshua would be the ones that would enter in, but all the rest would die. And all my hearers, these people, they began to speak with each other. I was thinking this is the way they were talking. Well, if we have to go back into the wilderness, and if we have to die there, because we wouldn't go into the land, let's go into the land. Let's get together and let's go up into it. And if we get smitten, well, then we'll die there. What's the difference? If we have to die in the wilderness, then we'll die trying to get into the land. And they came to Moses, and they said unto Moses, we will enter into the land. We will do as the Lord has said, for we have sinned. And Moses, he said unto them, do not go into the land. Do you want to transgress the commandment of God again? For God is not with you. God has departed from you. And if you try to presume to go up into that land, God will not be with you. You will be smitten before your enemies. Moses then warns these people faithfully that if they wanted to go up into that land, they would have to go without God. And they would have to go without him too, and without the Ark of the Covenant. And now my hearers, these people, they mourned and they said that they had sinned, but they didn't mourn in a godly way. Oh, they confessed that they had sinned, yes, but oh, as I just said, they had no true godly sorrow. For if they had been humble, if they had feelingly a penitent heart, then they would have listened to Moses. They would have said, oh, God is just. God is righteous in what he said about us. We've sinned against him, and now he's going to turn us into the wilderness, and Moses is speaking to us in his name that we shouldn't go up. Oh, let us fall in before God, and let us pray to him, and let us ask him what he wants us to do. Did these people do that? No. They presumed to go up into this land, and we find, my hearers, that Moses, in all love and faithfulness, warns these people not to do so. But the very next morning, they get up and they're going to go up. They presume to go up, irrespective of what Moses had said. Seeing this, my hearers, that it can go so far with people. See it in these Israelites. They mourned, they said they had sinned, and they said they would go up into the land, and all against God, against his commandment, against his servant, and they still went. And when they went, then the enemy come down, the Amalekites and the Canaanites, and they smote them with a severe slaughter unto Hormah, it says. See in this, my hearers, a lesson for each and every one of us. Oh, in the first place, I would bring before you how many people are like these Israelites. Oh, there are so many people who you listen to today who say, we are going into heaven. We are going home to be with Jesus. And my hearers, they never have been humbled. They never have been brought under God. They never have been given a new birth. They presume against the word of God, against the warnings and the admonitions that God's servants and God's children bring to them, that they're still going to go. And you may see it, my hearers, in their lives, that the enemy hath already prevailed over them. Sin, Satan, the world, the flesh have the upper hand with them people. And they presume they're going to go to heaven. You can't talk them out of it. Moses couldn't talk them out of it either. And oh, it will go with them poor people just like it went with the Israelites. Oh, when they presume to enter, to come into heaven, then God will smite them into hell. Oh, what an awful thing it'll be to mean to go in and then to... Many of the true Israelites experience. Oh, there may be some listening to me who have went through this pathway. They likewise have been like these Israelites. And they have sinned against God. And over the top of their sins, they have struggled and fought against them. And they mean that by winning and obtaining the victory over this sin and that sin, they shall enter in. They're striving in their own strength and in their own power. And my hearers, they find that the enemies are too strong for them. All sin, Satan, the world, the flesh get the overhand over them. They are smitten. And some of those poor Israelites, they are smitten so that they have to live in the wilderness for a long time as if that life that they had before was dead. The enemy has smitten me down to the ground as one that hath been long dead. You know something about it? In and through sin, in and through unbelief, in and through trying to enter in and through our own strength, we have fallen before the enemy. And there may be some listening to me that say, I'm afraid I'll never enter in. I'm afraid that I'm going to rest in the congregation of the dead and that I'm going to die this way. Oh, if you are brought low because of your iniquities, then God is very close to you. And then God will come again and he will raise you up. And he will give you to see that in Christ Jesus, there's a way whereby you, poor sinner, who have tried your utmost and have been brought low, that in him there's a way whereby you can be saved. Oh, how precious does Jesus become? How needful does he become for your immortal soul? Oh, then you are longing and desiring to be found in Jesus Christ. For outside of him, it's a lost matter with you. Oh, cheer up, soul. If God has begun this in your heart and is leading you into the wilderness, then he's leading you in that way that you will lose all your own strength. And that, just as these Israelites, they would die in the wilderness, their carcasses would fall there, so all your own righteousness, all your own works, all your own resolutions, they all come to nothing. And then God takes it up for such a sinner. These people then, they were told by God that they would have to wander 40 years in the wilderness. For every day that these spies had been in the land of promise, 1 year for each day, they would have to wander in the wilderness. And my hearers, 40 years is a long time. And there are many of God's dear children that have to wander in the wilderness because of unbelief. They've been so close to the promised land. They've had so much out of it. They've tasted of the fruit of it. They've enjoyed the presence of God. And really, they thought only one more step and I'm in it. And then they go back into the wilderness to be taught what you are, what you have become, and that it's not of you. That your song, if ever you enter into heaven, will be grace and grace only that I have found here, nothing of me, but it was all of God. And this is what God teaches his dear children in this wilderness world here below. And now, my hearers, we come to the next chapter out of which our lesson is for today. And we find in that chapter that there was a man by the name of Korah. This man, according to the commentary, he was a cousin to Moses, and he was a grandson of Levi. He was then of the tribe of the Levites. This man, with Dathan and Abiram and On and 250 princes of the congregation, men of renown, they rose up against Moses and against Aaron. They never learn a lesson. How many times have these people been smitten and have been given to feel the judgments of God, and here we have them again. They're rising right up against God's servants, the men who God had placed over them. This man, Korah, he must have spread a rumor throughout the whole congregation and also amongst all the princes that who was Moses, who was Aaron? These Levites, they had been chosen by God to minister in the tabernacle. You can read that. And they ministered before the Lord. And they considered themselves on the same level with Aaron and with Moses. And they began to talk. Well, who are they? They think they're any better than we are? The whole congregation is holy. God is in our midst. We're ministering too, just like them. Are we to take orders off them, do men? And this went into the hearts of so many of those Israelites that practically the whole congregation was behind this man. Now, this man did this with a purpose. Pride was behind this. And this man, he had his eye upon the high priest office. He had his eye upon Aaron, because he thought Moses had placed Aaron in this position. But God had placed him there, not Moses. And now he had an eye to be the high priest. And not only that, but they had an eye to overthrow their religious and their civil organization, which God himself had given unto them. This was the purpose of this uprising. They rose up against Moses, and they came to Moses, and they told him, "Who hath given thee the power to lift thyself up over us? For all the congregation is holy." And now Moses, when he heard this, we read, he fell upon his face. And Moses, he didn't want to answer these people. He wanted direction first from God, what he should say and how he should talk to these people. He fell upon his face. And my hearers, in my own little way, I seen in this man so many, even in the times in which we live. There are so many, I would say, they're born in Christian families, or they're reared up in a church, and they become a member, and a little while later, they have a desire to become a minister. And they come before a board of trustees, and these trustees, they pass this young man, and he goes to a seminary, and he learns to be a minister. No new birth, no life of God in his soul, no anointing of the Spirit, no calling by God, just a desire of his own, a presuming to be somebody, to get honor, to get fame, to have people speak well of him, to have an easy life. This was my thoughts when I was thinking about this man, Corinth. So many presume in pride to be somebody. And then when they come before the ecclesiastical authority and they are to be ordained, they have the presumption enough to say that they believe that they are being led by the Holy Ghost and that God has called them. The hypocrisy and the deceit of their hearts, they do not reveal, it's concealed. I see this in this man, Korah. He wanted to be somebody. He wanted to lift himself up above the congregation. He was envious of Moses and envious of Aaron as being the high priest. And incidentally, I happened to look in a commentary, Matthew Henry. And on the bottom of this commentary, there are notes of a man by the name of Scott. And I began to read what he had to say about this particular Korah. And I was amazed. He thought the same thing as I did. And when I came to the end of this incident, if you have this commentary, you may look at it. If you have the notes on the bottom of it, this man, he says he did the same thing. He presumed to be a minister. He done the same thing as Korah did, he said. He, in hypocrisy and deceit, became a minister, he says. But he says God came to him and gave him true repentance, and he became a minister of God. And he says, when we hear of such poor creatures who are in the ministerial office and who have done this very same thing that Korah has done, he says, oh, let us pray that God may come down and make them true ministers of Jesus Christ. He says he has done that to me and he can do that to others. Boy, I thought that was a wonderful thing when I read that. I thought my mind wasn't running wrong then when I was thinking this. It was just as this man had experienced it himself. And this is the way this Korah lifted himself up. And now Moses, he was a man of God. He had been chosen by God for this office. And likewise Aaron. And Aaron, he had been placed there by God himself to minister unto God. He was the high priest. And his sons likewise were his assistants. And now Moses, he found out of God what to do. And he said unto Korah, Korah, tomorrow you and the 250 men that are with you, bring your censers with you, put fire in them, and come before the Lord. And then God will show who he has chosen and who is holy. What faith this man Moses had. When I read that, I thought he stood in the fear of God. He wasn't afraid to bring it before God. He was honest. He knew who had placed him there. And therefore, He desired that they would wait until the next day. He gave them until tomorrow. He thought maybe they'll think the matter over, and maybe they'll desist from doing this. They'll go back. They won't do this. Maybe they'll see that they're doing wrong. And then he spake again to Korah and said, Korah, you take too much upon you. Listen, God has separated you men and given you to minister unto himself in the tabernacle. What a wonderful thing this was for these people, that God had chosen them to do this. And now, are you seeking the high priest office too? He knew what they were seeking after. And therefore, he spake unto them in this way, warning them that God would reveal who was the high priest and who had put Aaron in this posture and in this position. And what is Aaron, he says? What has he done? He was the man that God loved and God had placed there. And now these people, they rose up against Moses and against Aaron again and against God himself. For God had placed them in there. They weren't there themselves. And now they wanted to erupt the whole thing. This was what they were trying to do. And now the next day, they were to come to the tabernacle, and they were to bring their censers with them, and then God was going to show who they were, who he had chosen. And now they came there the next day, and they stood before the door of the tabernacle, and they had the whole congregation behind them. They all stood up against Moses and against Aaron. And now what God spake and what God did, we hope to continue with next week, the Lord willing. Our time is gone.